Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The choice of a lawyer is important and shouldn't be based on an ad.
If you're seriously hurt in an accident, you'll want all the money you deserve. That's called justice. But there wouldn't be lawyers if justice was easy. No, justice is not easy. It's fought for and it's won. At Brown & Crouppen, we fight for justice every day. If you want some, call 222-2222. Because at Brown & Crouppen, justice is our business.
You gotta be on acid to understand what's going on this show.
It's the Brown and Crouppen Morning After.
KPN TFM HD2.
Collinsville, St. Louis.
Welcome back. This is GMA presented to you by Brown and Crouppen. Timothy Michael McKernan, Douglas Sullivan, Vaughn the Plowhawk, Ken Strode out. Replaced by Jeremy Rutherford and Mark Hanna of Evergreen Well Strategies. And Doug, that is permanent.
Takes two of them to replace him, though.
That's the thing.
Because he brings an awful lot of knowledge.
Permanent?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I got to come back?
Yep. Yeah, you do every day.
Why be in the finance industry when you can be in the HD2 industry?
Well,
Hey, Doug, there's no answer.
Do we have enough time?
Do you regret some of the decisions you made in college going into the field you're in rather than this?
Studying French.
Yeah.
You did study French.
Oh. And are you fluent?
I can't speak a lick anymore.
Really?
It's gone.
What, did you have a minor in it or something? Or?
No, I had a...
That was your major?
A major.
And you can't speak any of it? What school did you go to?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about HD2. I think I got one right there with you.
What were you thinking? What were you going to go into?
I wasn't thinking. That's the issue. I don't know what my dad was thinking, allowing me to study that in college. Where did it lead me?
What college was this?
It's some... local joint that.
Oh,
I like that. A local joint.
Local joint.
Yeah.
JR, what about you? You speak any French? I mean, when you go up there and you cover Le Baton, the blues.
Merci, like... merci.
Yeah, see? Look at that.
Oh,
that more than
nice.
Mark.
Yeah.
Right? And I didn't go to the local joint.
On dit quoi?
Hey, running a couple minutes late here, but got stuck behind a school bus. So I'm waving to all the youngsters in the back as I stop every 50 feet. I get to the door. Oh, gosh, I'm late. You know, Iggy goes, you got 3 minutes. You're fine. You got
there he is.
Yeah. Oh, that's forever.
He's the greeter. Yeah. He's the maitre d'.
And if you're late, that's okay, too.
Yeah. This program is a tight, tight ship.
Mm-hmm.
JR, taking your two-part questions here. He's presented to you by Mark Hanna, 314-881-TMA5, Jeff Lottman, Compass Realty. Text inbox. JR, what'd you think about last night? That was a fun game to watch. Disappointing result. My sense was the Blues were actually at peace with it because they recognized they were up against a great team, but they feel like they played pretty well.
Yeah, I think so. And I was talking to some people yesterday before the game. Nobody with the team. I'm not talking about players here. But, you know, if you played hard in that game, if you came out and you showed well, you lose 6-5, they end up losing 4-3. You know, you played hard. You're going to have a couple losses down the stretch. In Colorado, you guys saw last night, Mark, they just keep coming at you. Like, they are so dominant.
Yeah.
Just so fun to watch. So, you know, I like the way they played. You know, you look at it ahead of time and you think, okay, this could be an L. But I just think the two or three huge mistakes coming from some of your veterans, Buchnevich with the turnover, you had Kyrou with the penalty, things that just can't happen if you want to win those games.
What did you think of the call on the penalty? I'm sorry, Mark.
Yeah,
you think
for
of the
sure.
Call
it should have been a penalty. And I asked Drew Bannister about it after the game, and he said penalty, can't take it type of game or that time of game. And the thing is, you know, interference, trip, it almost looked like he was getting out of the way at one point and trying to give a half-ass hip check, but then he sticks the leg out. It's like, why are you doing any of that?
Mm-hmm. Don't say half-ass on this show.
Not on the HD?
Yeah.
We try to keep it clean here.
Yeah. Full-ass only.
Right.
Full-ass only.
If you could.
I'll say it in French, then Mark won't understand it.
Okay.
Mark, what were you about to say?
Well, I
rudely interrupted you. You're the sponsor of the segment.
I had nothing material to add. But it really is the difference of a team that's at the top of the league, that is a true contender, that they minimize those mistakes. And that's where the experience difference lies. That's where the intensity difference lies with a team like the Blues that are trying to get there, that these young guys that they need to elevate into it. And I compare this team versus 2019. This team is a step back in terms of talent. not a significant one, but it's a step back. It's a step back in terms of intensity, in terms of character, things like that. And I might be a Jackson-level optimist on this, but when I think about what this means, a lot of what I'm thinking about is it's really unlikely that they're going to make it. We've known that for a while. But I can't help but think, what does this mean over the next 10 to 15 games, however many are left, about these younger players, Bull Duke, some of these other guys, about the opportunity that they're going to get, and what can they learn about what this journey means, especially when compared to a team like the Avalanche last night?
Yeah, that's a thing. You look at these last few games, you look at last night, Toropchenko, another goal. He's up to 14 goals. I think Bull Dukes look good in the times that he's been out there. And then, of course, Neighbors. I mean, Neighbors has been the story of the year. I think that's what makes it disappointing when you see some of those veterans, top six guys, go through the struggles they are and then make the plays like Buchnevich did last night. So these last 13 games are going to be a situation where these are all going to be meaningful. And I think these young guys are going to learn a lot. You know, Tim, I'm going to write a story at The Athletic coming up. I'm trying to piece it together. Is people talk about making the playoffs or not making the playoffs and getting a better draft pick. I want to go back to some of those years, like 2009. You're good with the years, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were swept by the Canucks after making that run to get in.
Swept by the Canucks, and did that playoff series, even though they got swept, how much did it help those young players coming back in 2010? But then go back and find out what draft pick they got compared mm-hmm. to what draft pick they could have got. Let's see what the significance is in the type of player you get in the draft if you make or miss the playoffs.
That was the thing, you know, I text with our former producer here on TMA, the Nonling, and he texted me this morning, a game like last night really makes me wonder whether it's better for the franchise to competitively lose in 4 or 5 in the first round or pick in the top 10. They played well enough, and Colorado is just better. And then he also added, this Cairo narrative is only getting louder. Those were his observations on the festivities. So that's kind of a two-parter without any sexuality just yet. It's coming. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on that?
Yay.
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree, and that's what I think the premise of the story could be. Because a lot of people say, you know, don't make the playoffs, get the better pick. Get the top 10 pick. Well, you guys know, you've looked back at drafts, right? We can go back to that 2010 draft and see where they drafted after making the playoffs in 2009, and where was that pick? And just because it was number 10, did he actually turn out to be a better player than the 16th pick? Mm-hmm. And see how that – and David Backus was on 101 ESPN this week with Alex Ferrario, and he talked about he felt like the young guys in 2009 that experienced that sweep against Vancouver, you know, they came back – you know, they go into the summer, they know – what it takes to get to the next level. So, you know, you can weigh them both ways. And then with Kyrou, it's just tough because it wasn't the penalty. You know, there were other instances last night where you continue to see where he's hurting the team in some areas.
The cameras caught Drew Bannister kind of schooling him on a mistake that was made earlier. Then you had the penalty. I don't know what they do. I really don't know what they do. I mean, I know what I think they're going to do. I think they're going to trade him, but it's just super unfortunate. And by the way, going back just real quickly to the game last night, kind of zooming in on that, I mean, they kept the puck in the Colorado zone for a full minute or so midway through the second period. Some great opportunities there. Right before the Kyrou penalty, you had Neighbors on the doorstep for what looked like an opportunity to make that thing 4-2. And then, unfortunately, of course, you had the penalty and the power play goal. And then later, Rantanen getting the hat trick to go up 4-3, which was the final. But, man, on the other side of it, of getting the draft pick, when you see the Blues compete with a team like that, the value that you would get if you do go up against, whether it be Colorado, Winnipeg, I suppose Dallas and Vancouver would be the four that would be the most likely if they were to get in. What that does for you. We had Kelly Chase and Barrett Jackman in here on Monday, and they really, it's not about they think they can win, although you certainly could do anything with a hot goaltender, but getting that experience and how much it means, and those guys having done it feel like that has real value. Where do you come down on that analysis on what matters more?
Well, whatever Chaser said, I agree with that.
Because you just don't want to deal with it.
No. Or Jax. Yeah. I agree with whatever they say. Or Mark, for that. But whatever these guys say. But I feel like even if you get swept, just like they did in 2009 against Vancouver, it's that intensity, it's that extra level, it's playoff hockey, where some of these players in the locker room legitimately think, you know, hey, we're pretty close. Well, guess what? Go get waxed 3-0, 4-0, 3-1 in the first round of the playoffs.
They're
and then tell yourself how close you are.
Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. I think when you go into the offseason, gosh, we just got swept in the first round. I need to do this, this, and that to get myself ready for that level of hockey.
Yeah, that's a really great way to come at it, because it's one thing to be in the pursuit all the way down to the end. But once you get into those games that matter, as in anything, and you really see what it takes to turn it up, and you look at the intensity of the players on the ice last night for the Avalanche, Nathan MacKinnon owns the league, and you see him show up every single day, and it's the show-up dynamic. We saw that when Patrick Kane came out, and came out with absolute intensity, and what a night and day for the younger players on the Blues. And I guess we shouldn't call Kyrou a younger player anymore, but these guys to be able to see that, and you see what MacKinnon is doing, it's unbelievable, and that's what shows up in the playoffs. It's a good point.
I would much rather see the team get in the playoffs and rely on hitting the jackpot in the draft. The draft is such a hit-and-miss thing. When you watch the draft on TV, some of these guys look like they're middle school kids. They look like they're 14, 15 years old.
Almost every first-rounder makes it. Go on, Doug. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but they're so young, and they haven't developed yet. Who knows? I mean, they had the first overall pick one year, and Eric Johnson wasn't a real difference-maker player. He was okay, but he wasn't a real difference maker. Now, usually you're going to hit big on the first couple. If you've got the first couple of picks, sure. But if you're picking 10 through 20 or 30, who knows what you're going to get?
Yeah, I mean, you look at last year. They had the 10th overall pick. They take Dalibor Dvorsky. He just scored his 40th goal in junior hockey. And could he be here next year? He could, but it might be 2 years before he's even in St. Louis, and then 3 years before he's making an impact. So you're right. If you're getting 15, 16, you know, you're looking at 3-4 years before these guys are making an impact. And also, Doug, you get to the point where you have as many assets as you need, right? Dvorsky, Snuggerud, you know, all these Swedes that they picked in the first round last year. Now you got to get them over here. So, you know, I think you're right. I think the playoff experience for the guys that you do have is going to be more important than adding another one of those assets.
And by the time some of these guys come up, the rest of your core team might have moved on by then.
Totally. And actually, at this point, the Blues fans might be happy with that.
Yeah.
This is big here because a member of the Blues organization is in the YouTube chat, Doug, former goalie Daddy Padre.
Is he there?
Scolding the players, saying Buchnevich and Kyrou were passengers last night in a big game. Shocker. And then he said that would be called superstars, Mark. Unfortunately, we don't have any, brother. So that's coming from inside the room, Doug, isn't it? I mean,
how do you like to be called brother?
Doug, what?
It's almost condescending.
But he's a member of the Blues. You can't.
He isn't.
Is Daddy Padre, is he assistant GM? What was he?
He's nothing.
He works with McKinnis.
Right next to Armstrong during the games.
He runs a vending machine company. He was an emergency backup who sat on the upper deck. He didn't have a uniform.
It's debatable.
He got to practice a few times when they needed what amounted to a tackling dummy. Oh, he took a beating. I mean, he took a real shellacking in practice.
Yeah. My favorite with Daddy Padre, and I've said this to him, is that he would tweet during the games, what a horrible pass by so-and-so. This guy, they need to get rid of him. And then the next day, he's on the ice playing goal next to the guy.
How'd that go over in the locker room, exactly?
I'm sure it gave him a lot of respect in the room. Hey, JR, did I see Jakey get bumped to the top line? Secondly, you ever look at the cover of Air Supply's Greatest Hits and think it's Hull and Garth Butcher? Thanks. That's from Stepdad Gary.
The two-parters. I did see Jakey. I was watching the game last night, so when you watch the game, you tend to see things like that. And
clip that off.
And Jakey did get bumped up to that top line. And I think a lot of people have been clamoring for that. Put him up there. And so they finally did with Robert Thomas. And, you know, I know Braden Schenn was on that line last night. What a play by Jake to get the puck to Braden, and they finish off that 2-1.
That was beautiful. Yeah. That was beautiful.
And so at this point, you know, when you asked that question 2 weeks ago, why is Jake Neighbors not playing on the top line with the way he's playing, you get an answer from the coach like, we're looking for the balance. We're looking for, you know, some depth on that right wing. They want to keep Kyrou top line right wing. Well, last night, guess what? They said, Kyrou, you know, find the second line. Jake goes up there, and he looked great. And Air Supply, I'm going to have to go back to my LP collection in the basement and see if I can find that.
You still have one of those?
No, but
no.
Yeah, I'll call Donnie Fandango. Maybe he's
got Donnie's got Air Supply in his point studios. Tim, one-parter, would like to have a train run on my wife with this hot Mark Hanna and my man JR. That's from the recovering alcoholic from Belleville and Webster Groves. Doug, really not a hockey theme there, but.
No, but are you guys up for that?
I'm kind of busy.
They don't want me involved anyway, but I like Mark. gets the hot adjective in front of the name, and then it's hot Mark and then JR.
And then my guy, guys, the only way the Blues make the playoff, and they're plus 830 to make the playoffs. Wow, how about that? Is if Mark and JR get to a game together and get the fans going like Maverick Ott and rip their shirts off and rub nipples. Doug, that's from Mr. Sider.
Gosh.
That's Jackson's opponent in the fan page.
Club inappropriate Champ. Questions.
Well, we ask for the audience to get involved, and this is what they send in.
I'd be open to it.
Let's do it. Let's do it, but let's go to a game up in Montreal, and you can kind of walk us around and speak the language.
Speak the language to the people.
Get some poutine.
Well, get some food, too.
Two-parter for JR. The Blues due for a uniform update soon. What was his favorite iteration of their sweater? Mm. Oh, and I saw Jorgen Pettersson naked once. I was an assistant stick boy a couple times when I was young. Dude had white pubes, as God is my witness. Oh. They were as white as the driven snow.
Gosh.
Doug. That's from Chuck Talent.
No, that's out of bounds.
Jackson?
Totally out of bounds.
I liked it.
What is your favorite sweater, Doug?
I like the light blue that they wear, going back to kind of the original colors in 67. I think that lighter blue makes them look different than every other team in the league.
Did you like when they wore the red stripe last week against the Kings with the Kings' silver helmets?
Not really. Not really. But I think that lighter blue jersey is the best look that they have.
I hope everybody knows why they switch them so often and come up with all these abstract jerseys. It's to take money out of my pocket. My 11-year-old son wants every jersey.
Oh, so you got to have all those.
It's unbelievable.
Sweaters.
Yeah, Tim, you got to go through that too, or if you haven't yet, you're going to here.
My son loves the Canucks sweater, so I got him a Canucks sweater, Pettersson, for the Christmas holiday.
And that'll fit him for about a month and a half.
Exactly. Let's see. Hey, JR, who has the best lettuce in the locker room? Also, my buddy Jackson was wearing a green Dallas Stars jersey to St. Paddy's Day downtown last weekend and was seen twerking on gentlemen. How do I ask him about this without making it awkward? That's from the South City Hurricane.
Reasonable. Yeah.
Mm. Well, Doug, I can take that first one. You take the second one. You know, I'll go with, give me some Robert Thomas. He's got, you know, a lot of lettuce there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, Robbie Fabry used to be the guy, I thought. It was slick, dark, just went back. I think one time he did, like, one of those Fabio commercials right in front of me. You know, he's talking about his hair, and he just
he flipped it. He Bryce Harpered it.
Put it right in your face.
Yeah, right in front of a bald guy. Speaking of which, I heard you guys advertising on the way in.
Yeah, I mean, Jackson and Doug. Look at Doug's lid.
That's so full. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But I do have a
Tuffy McTufferson.
I do have an offer for your advertisers is give me the T-shirt of your competitor. I'll walk around no hat, bald, and put your competition's name on my T-shirt.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah, this is what you get if you don't go to St. Louis Air Restoration.
Exactly.
Did Gary Unger have the best flow all time with the Blues?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine who would have been.
He used to put hairspray in it before he went out to the ice.
Did he really? He had a hair helmet going.
All right, final question.
Mark.
This is for I know, my God. We keep him off camera so people can't see it.
What do you use?
It's all natural, baby.
God,
hop
Doug
out of the shower.
Makes me angry as a hornet. Look, I'm angry as a hornet.
I'm not natural. I've had work done.
No, not product, but like to keep it all looking so nice.
Oh, fertilizer.
Right, fertilizer.
Yeah, shrubs.
Yeah.
Shrub fertilizer.
Right.
Final question coming in, and this is from Mark Hanna. Mark, I have a young lass. Doug, these listeners have young women.
Sure they do. Yeah.
I have a young lass that needs a financial advisor. How should she contact you? That's from the 314. There you go.
What a great question.
It is.
You can call me, 314-889-0503. Go to our website, evergreenstl.com.
Yep.
Click on my picture. There's flow there.
There is.
You'll see a button. It reads, click here to schedule a call with Mark.
Wow.
And you can put it right there on the calendar. It's that simple.
Couldn't be any easier than that, Doug. EvergreenSTL.com.
You think you have the best hair in the financial services industry?
Well, given that the average age for financial advisors is late 50s.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole issue that there are not a whole lot of people that are joining the business anymore. A lot of them are getting older, and so it's an issue. And so I'm going to take – can I just be in the top 5%?
Yeah.
I think that's a lock.
Humble brag.
It's a lock.
Jeremy, where are you for sports writers with your hair?
I'm probably 2 percentile.
Are you really?
Yeah, 2 percentile. Hey, and Mark brings up a good point there, Mark. You know, having a younger financial guy, that guy's going to be there when you retire. You know, if you grab an older financial guy who, let's say, when you're 30 years old, he's 55, he's going to be long gone by the time you retire. So that's got to be an advantage.
Nice.
And I got a whole team behind me. I'm not the only one. I've got a partner, so she's 31 years old, so she's supporting me. So If I decide to go to Jeffco and shut it down, she's going to be there to support forever. So.
You're going to retire in Imperial?
Is there any better place?
Well, I wouldn't think so.
Somebody said they had great Imperial.
I know. I was irritated by that. I was bothered by that. JR, I know you got to head down the hallway. Am I correct? Or you're a podcast?
Yeah, we're going to podcast with Donnie. And sorry, I thought we were going to have time to break down Ottawa, but I do have to get
Oh, yeah, I already did that. Oh, it's taken care of.
Sens talk. You and Donnie. Mark, thank you so much. JR, thank you so much. There it is. Every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, brought to you by Mark Hahn, Evergreen Wealth Strategies, evergreenstl.com. JR going to do his podcast. We're going to continue to nitwit around, and Iggy can come off his smoke break and return to the studio. So there you go. Tell Mark that I just passed my CFP exam and I'm young and female. That's from Bill's wife. Mark, there you go. Bill's wife is looking for
314-889-05.
There you go. Bill's wife is now going to be working at Evergreen STL. Thank you, guys. See you, boys.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Mark Hanna, that's Jeremy Rutherford with us here on TMA. And I guess Ken Strode will be returning. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. He may be done for the day.
St. Louis hasn't won a lot of trade the last couple of years.
In hockey?
Or in baseball, outside of Goldschmidt and Arenado.
Those are two big ones.
I think the fan base really wanted that trade to happen with Iggy. Traded for
Mark Hanna and JR?
Mark Hanna, yeah. They're good spirit. They're good people.
Yeah.
Special spirits. Mm-hmm. I like that. A special spirit. Mentality. They have a special spirit for you if you're not feeling great. These can be symptoms of low testosterone. Go to lowtusa.com and get tested to find out if that is the case. I went out there and I got tested. It was very easy. In and out in 20 minutes. If you are dealing with low energy, low motivation, you're putting on weight, not putting on muscle like you used to, you're tired all the time, feeling anxious or moody, irritable, those are symptoms of low testosterone, and get tested at lowtusa.com with Mentality. If you're dealing with a low libido, you're disinterested in your spouse or partner, that can lead to relationship problems. Mentality is a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Testosterone therapy helps men regain normal function and restores the ability to perform normally at all levels. lowtusa.com. It's Mentality. LowTUSA.com. In about 21 minutes, we'll see if Blueberry Pop-Pop can get his 10th win of the month in the Design Air Heating and Cooling email of the day. That's coming your way at about 9:45. And the Schaefer Door Company, 9 o'clock hour. And then Jackson and I head down the hallway for Balloon Party, which is driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, and Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota. And we'll have this Wide Berth Wednesday.
Bingo.
Yeah. So I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
It sounds like there's not much on the docket.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. How long can you discuss Virginia's shooting woes?
Listen, Doug, I can't crap out topics left and right.
Oh, gosh, you snapped at me.
You did. I saw that. Doug, has your wife ever gotten an argument with somebody in social media because of the show?
Doubtful.
If it happens, stop listening.
Mm-hmm. Kelly Stafford. Wife of Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. Do you call him Matt or Matthew? Is it Pat
Matt,
Mahomes or Patrick?
I usually say Matt Stafford and Patrick Mahomes.
Kelly Stafford has jumped in off the top rope after Barstool Sports personality Jersey Jerry revealed a years-long beef with Entourage actor Kevin Connolly. Jerry, whose real name is Gerard, is it Gilfone?
I don't know, Tim.
Appeared, or do you know Plowhawk? Do you know this?
It's Gilfone.
Gilfone?
Gilfone.
Gilfone. Appeared on Barstool's Unnamed podcast with Dave Portnoy and lambasted, and Ryan Whitney, Spittin' Chiclets, and lambasted Whitney for putting out a video with Connolly, whom he accused of stiffing him on a previous content deal. Stafford, the wife of Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford, they said Matthew, Doug, mm-hmm. reached out to Jerry through DMs that she also had a poor experience with the man who played Vincent Chase's manager E on the show Entourage. Quote, you're putting out videos with a bad guy. He's a very, very bad person. He effed me really bad, Jerry told Whitney, who then asked what happened. And then Jerry explained on Friday that he was collaborating with Robbie Berger, who hosts Bob Does Sports podcast, and that Connolly poached them to work for his podcast network, Action Park Media. We took a chance. We went there. The guy made me sign a deal. I signed a deal for $50,000, Jerry said. I guess he got banged up one night, maybe had a few too many drinks, ended up firing Bobby. He said Bobby sucked. His content wasn't good enough. He didn't know what he was doing. Bobby's a superstar now. He fired Bob. I was messaging him for 2 weeks. No answer. Then I get a text at nighttime around 11 o'clock from a producer. He didn't even have the balls to message me, this little punk, little effing rat scammer.
Oh, gosh.
Jerry was adamant that Connolly owed him $35,000 plus $4,500 he spent on a lawyer in California in a fruitless attempt to get the balance of his contract. After seeing the video, Matt Stafford's wife messaged Jerry with claims of her own poor working experience with Kevin Connolly. Quote, did my podcast under him at Action Park for a year, Super Bowl year, had a merch drop that sold out in 48 hours and got paid absolutely nothing. My husband wants to beat his ass, but I'd rather see what happens to him in prison.
Gosh.
My goodness.
Yeah, this story's wild.
She gave Jerry permission to share their exchange and added, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want the first year in L.A. to be about me starting a war with a celebrity, but my show is completely sold out every show and I got nothing. Was thinking about suing him for all of it, but instead I just told him I wanted the RSS feed to my podcast because I didn't realize that I didn't even own that. Connolly has yet to publicly address Jerry and Stafford's claims and did not immediately return the post's request for comment. After mulling it over, Whitney tweeted that his video with Connolly will be removed from the internet as soon as possible and that his Spit and Chicklets podcast stands in solidarity with Jerry and all the other people owed money. New York Post, your source, Doug.
Yeah, I've been following this for a little bit now. It's not the first person to say Kevin Connolly isn't the greatest guy.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's kind of had.
So what's been the issues, Jackson?
There was one claim that was much more like criminal, a lot more assault based in that, but I don't have the full information based on that, so I'm not gonna speak. Like,
what is he? What pedestal is he on that he has to be such a dick? He's been on one show, right?
Right. Well, he started a podcast network that him, Kevin Dillon, who played Drama, and then the show's creator Doug Ellen did a podcast like recapping Entourage, and he built a podcast network based around that. And I don't think it's either doing well or is even active anymore. But Matt Stafford's wife used to be on there. The great Bobby Fairways of Bob Does Sports used to be on there, and they have all left.
If you're married to Matthew Stafford, who recently signed a contract worth $160 million, $130 million guaranteed, $63 million upfront just to sign it, wouldn't you just kind of mellow out at that point?
Right.
Would you not argue and complain about every little thing that happens to you at that? I know you still want to get out and do things. They're young, and you still don't want to be taken advantage of, but I'm not sure you want to air your grievances in public when you're so well taken care of anyway. You can just kind of.
We all signed $160 million contracts. I think that's well documented.
I got $150, and I'm hacked off about it.
Oh.
Yeah, but $10 million of that is in the Sivian stock.
That's right. Yeah, you at least have options in the refurbished Sivian.
Yeah, you haven't even checked that portfolio yet.
I'm not sure it's going to go up.
I got $150 too. You didn't get more
than
me?
See? There you go.
I had $150 million.
Oh.
We just think that would mellow you quite a bit.
I mean, as you can imagine, I guess all of our significant others are aware of the comings and goings and goings and comings. And so if they were ever browse things, and your fiance is active on the fan page.
Of course she is. So are my parents and her parents. Whole gang there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't have my parents or in-laws on the fan page. My wife's on there. I don't. So, but if I were to ever see her write, like, oh no, this is what really happened, I would go, yeah.
Like, honey,
I'd go, hey, we have a little talk.
That's not her. That's not Emery's personality.
Well, I understand, but in general, the principle isn't about my wife or Madison, or Jackson's love interest for that. Is she on the fan page, Jackson?
No.
Wow. Now, why did he say it like that? Why did he say it like that?
To be fair, she's not a very big social media person.
Oh, that's a problem. But anyway, Doug, your principle was stay out of it.
Yeah. I mean, when you're well taken care of, when generations of Stafford family members are taken care of.
Even if they were making, you know, whatever, stay out of it.
Yeah.
And if my wife was a public figure and then I start popping off, I'd expect her to go, stay out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she had an issue with what she called out some Rams receivers on her podcast before the season, right?
Her podcast is also called The Morning After.
Oh, really bad.
Gosh.
No, it's a trademark infringement. Right. We'll be, counsel will be in touch.
Well, my point was that it doesn't matter how much money you make eventually. Your personality is your personality. You know, if she had a personality like that, oh, I got money now, I'm not going to do it. She's not going to change if that's who she is. Just be yourself if that's how you've been your whole life, calling people out and making comments. Like Scottie Scheffler, perfect example.
Look, Scottie Scheffler.
Let's get it back
the guy's
to
made the guy's made $8.5 million in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked him at his press conference, he says, is it your upbringing or what do you equate it to? Because you're always so down to earth. You don't get flustered. You're a nice guy. You make all this money. You win two tournaments in a row, and you're just like, oh, it's, you know, I'm having fun on here. He goes, I take that as a compliment, and it has to do with my upbringing. He says, you know, and you know, whether I win or not, it's the same thing. My Monday's going to be a little different, that I'll have more text messages, but I'll go home. I'll be with my wife and my friends. We'll have dinner. We just, you know, that's how I am. So it doesn't matter how much money you make. If you've always been like that, you're not going to change.
No, but people do evolve over their lifetime based on their financial situations. People change.
Now, if I'm Jersey Jerry, I am pissed about the $35,000, and I'm pissed about a lot of that. But with her, yeah, I think maybe even messaging Jerry is not a bad thing. You know, airing out grievances on a personal message, agreeing with him.
Yeah. I'd be curious. I mean, just having kind of been through these things where, you know, whether it be angry exes or angry employees get, you know, they pop off. I'd be curious what his side of the story is, just in fairness. But he's, I guess he has not commented is what the article said. So I don't know.
Correct. Yeah. It was like a weird thing when Bobby left his company. It was like super abrupt. It was strange. And now his media company isn't really work, like doing anything now. It's all very odd. But yeah, Kevin Connolly seems to be a little bit, he seems fiery is how I describe him. He seems fiery.
No. Okay. You got a problem with Kevin Connolly?
Well, I don't even know who any of these people are. I don't.
He's a little pipsqueak in Entourage.
Okay.
He's a little simp.
We're all big, tall guys on this show.
If he has more than 5 inches, I would be shocked.
You think he has a small ween now?
Personality-wise, just his look.
His wife is gorgeous. I'll give him that.
Well, yeah, he's got a ton of money. You don't need a penis for that, man.
Oh. Clip that one off.
He was in Rocky Five. Off, I agree. Why do you hate Rocky Five?
He was in Rocky Five?
Yeah.
God, which one
Tommy
is that?
Tommy Morrison?
Yeah, that one's terrible.
That's bad. I'm good or bad. Yeah,
Rocky Five is bad.
Barstool is a soap opera. It's keeping up with the Kardashians for post-grad frat boys working at Northwestern Mutual. That's Zach's wife, Gummy. Is that what it is?
I don't. That's a pretty good company
that's
to work
well
for.
Well said, though.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they don't mind the controversy, get their name out there and make people check out the website, see what's going on. They've probably gotten like that.
They've gotten so big that like you can't define it to one certain person. Like if you just like a big hockey fan, you might only listen to Spittin' Chiclets, which is a Barstool brand.
Are we popular at Northwestern Mutual?
Probably.
Doubtful.
Most Fortune 500 companies just pipe us directly into their headquarters.
I agree with that. I agree with that part.
Or they podcast.
Probably nobody does this.
Scottie Scheffler's a bad guy. He takes scummy drops. That's from Tervis Parish.
Scummy drops.
I tell you what, Wyndham Clark is a little bit of a...
Oh, everybody's taking shrapnel.
Well, what are these guys
no,
doing?
No, Wyndham Clark doing it genius. And how he, quote-unquote, you know, is being accused of cheating. He will walk off his line of where he's dropping it so much to where the grass is completely matted down.
Matted tufts?
Completely, like... Like, he steps on the area, gets it all nice, and then take the drop. But he walks around like he's looking at something at the other end, but he's just mainly just doing walks and trying to get the grass
flattened. Is that illegal? Or is that a scummy drop?
Scummy drop? Maybe. I don't know if anything is illegal.
I saw the
drop.
He didn't put in his footmark.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm not saying every time he drop, but there are videos the last few tournaments of him doing it a couple times, and it is funny.
I would think
again, more power to him if he can get away with it.
I would think that they would go out of their way to avoid the look of doing something that was inappropriate, knowing that there's cameras on everything they do. They've already financially, they're already set. Why are you going to ruin your reputation for one bad drop?
I agree. I'm not saying it's purposeful or, you know, doing it in any sort of way. I just noticed that that was a big topic on Twitter and watching the video.
No, the one thing, and I don't believe he did it on purpose, but his ball did move. I don't know why they went back and looked at it and didn't penalize him. His ball, when he addressed it a couple of times, the ball did move. But they didn't do anything, so.
If Preed would have done that, all hell would have been breaking loose.
Of course. But I think he does it on purpose.
You think P. Reed does it on purpose, what you're saying?
Yeah.
Doug, the Athletic just came out with their rankings of all of the pitchers, starting pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Oh.
Who do you think is number one?
Well, when healthy, it's probably Garrett Cole, but
That's
he's
correct.
Not healthy.
That's pretty good. Who do you think is number two, though, then?
Trevor Bauer.
No, it wouldn't be Trevor Bauer.
He's pitching in Mexico.
Number two. Did you say number two?
That's right.
I might need initials.
S.S.
S. Sam Smith is number two?
No, he isn't. He's six.
Steve Simpson?
Scotty Boy.
Scotty Boy?
Shatani.
Scotty Scheffler?
Scotty Scheffler. Second letter, first name.
It's Spencer Strider.
Oh, gosh, of course. Brace, right here, yeah.
Corbin Burns, three. Zach Wheeler, four. Jacob DeGrom, five. Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yeah, he's hurt as well. That's the tier. Now we go into the tier two, the aces. Luis Castillo, the Mariners. Blake Snell, now of the Giants. Kevin Gausman of the Blue Jays. Zach Gallen, formerly of the Cardinals. With the Diamondbacks, George Kirby. Of the Mariners, Tyler Glasnow, of the Dodgers. Doug, I'm trying to get to a Cardinal. Logan Webb, the Giants, 14. Aaron Nola tied with him at 14. Yuri Perez of the Marlins at 15. Max Fried of the Braves at 16. Pablo Lopez of the Twins at 17. Doug, I'm just trying to get to a Cardinal.
Okay.
Get to 30.
Justin Verlander of the Astros tied with Logan Gilbert of the Mariners. Framber Valdez of the Astros is at 20. Tariq Skubal of the Detroit Tigers is 22. Dylan Cease, he just was traded from the White Sox to the Padres, 22. Grayson Rodriguez of the Orioles, 23. Kunasinga of the Mets, 23. Kyle Bradish of the Orioles, 24.
Where are the Redbirds?
Max Scherzer is tied at 28. With Bobby Miller of the Dodgers, okay, still. Jesus Luzardo of the Marlins, 28s also. Justin Steele of the Cubs, 30. Freddie Peralta of the Brewers, 30.
Where are the Redbirds?
Joe Musgrove is tied at 35 with unsigned Jordan Montgomery and Sonny Gray.
Okay, whew.
There's a race.
And a couple of those teams, Sonny Gray would be the third starter.
Yeah.
He's also tied with Yu Darvish. Padres, who got the ball today.
I noticed that on our fantasy baseball draft the other night. There weren't a lot of highly ranked Cardinals. Goldschmidt was up there, but beyond that, there wasn't much.
What are you trying to say?
I wasn't touching the team.
Yeah. And I also noticed that in just a couple years, the guys that were the absolute premier stars aren't anymore. Talking about Clayton Kershaw and Max Scherzer and DeGrom now that he's hurt.
Carlos.
Mike Trout. Yeah, some of them that were picked early first round are not even much of a factor.
I was curious where he went because I would have, depending on what they look like as far as how many good ones you can look at, I try to get a catcher kind of early because if, the good ones are gone, you get stuck with a catcher down eighth round. He sucks. But where did Contreras go in your draft?
Doug?
I think mid-rounds.
Mid-round, yeah.
They're actually,
his brother is ranked ahead of him.
Yeah, Williams ranked ahead of him. There's actually 9 or 10 catchers now that are all kind of in the same group.
The issue with drafting a catcher is they don't play every day, so it's considered by sharps to be a waste of a position because I used to do the exact same thing, but then they don't play every day, so then to waste a spot early for a guy who doesn't play every day is considered to be a faux pas.
If they drafted Adley early, but
if there was a Mike Piazza type, you might do it.
Yeah, if you do have somebody who's played in 6 out of 7 days, then God bless America. I see people on Twitter saying it. Nice work, Plow News. That's from Beer Cats. I don't know what you said, but Beer Cats didn't like it.
Like, I mean, there are tons of videos of him doing it, not only the tournament that just won, but tournaments in the past. I mean, that's where you get your news. Sorry, Bob. don't know what the hell you want me to say. I was watching CNN, and they were having a Wyndham Clark special. Where the hell do you think I'm going to see this stuff?
What are you eating, though?
Dunkaroos.
Okay.
What are these two? You got little Lion's Choice sandwiches on?
I don't know. Iggy brought them in. One's a ham for sure. I've done Lion's Choice.
What's going on?
I figured Palsy would be the only one to eat them. No, it was Moon's birthday today. Moon's birthday.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And they brought in some sandwiches, and he just put them out in the kitchen. There's a bunch of roast beef out there.
Huh.
And I thought Palsy may like it, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't see it on Twitter, so I don't know if it exists. No, wait, they're right there.
Wyndham Clark.
Bearcats is an ass.
Hey!
I'll eat my Dunkaroos in silence.
Wyndham Clark, serial cheater, should be beheaded. That's from Tervis Parish. Wow. He's having a...
Has anyone accused him of cheating except this dais?
I'm not even
accused. Oh, certainly it happened at the Arnold Palmer with the video. I know what you guys are talking about. I don't know if people necessarily were saying he was doing it intentionally so much as there should have been a penalty for it, I think, is what the bigger issue is. But, yeah, it was a topic of conversation. Again, it's one of those topics that I realize about maybe 5% of the audience is familiar with, so I don't spend a whole lot of time on it. But
everyone who watches on TV is now a rules official, and they'll even call the networks and tattle on
thank
people.
Thank God you can't do that anymore. Thank goodness you can't do that.
Do the Saudis behead people in their country?
It's kind of a different topic.
No, he said.
I suppose they might.
They said behead him if he cheated, and if the Saudis kind of... going with the PGA Tour.
I don't believe they do that. No.
There are some, they do.
They
do
behead golfers for cheating?
Oh, not golfers.
Well, it was kind of a bit, you know. He said he should be headed for cheating. Maybe if Saudi takes over, that'll be a new rule.
I don't know that Liv's
going to put cheating
that
this year, beheading.
I don't think so.
Probably that's no better than Jay
Monahan. Certainly make people play by the rules. Some of those countries that have severe penalties for crime have next to no crime.
They had that meeting yesterday. I haven't heard anything about it. Have you, Tim? Anything come out about that meeting yesterday?
I have not.
I'm kind of surprised nothing
Jackson,
came out.
Jackson, you sent a link over with a memo?
Right, the memo about the discussion. And I think Rory, after the players confirmed that it was happening, but I haven't heard anything after that.
That Tiger Woods and his fellow player directors have met with the chairman of LIV Golf.
Yeah, down the Bahamas. So there are private jets everywhere.
Yeah, I saw that.
Doug, why don't we get private jets?
Who says I don't have one already?
Damn it. And the stock options on the refurbished Sibian company.
I've got one up by the Barnoff. Short landing area.
Barnoff?
Yeah.
Where's that?
My estates and grounds.
Oh. Grounds. Is that what you call it?
Uh-huh.
My estates and grounds.
Yeah. It's just nice. It's just convenient. I find it convenient.
A little walking trail, Doug.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, several players had confirmed at the very least they wanted to hear Yasir Al-Rumayyan out. World number two, Rory McIlroy, claimed the meeting should have happened, quote, months ago. He also appeared to reignite his feud with Greg Norman by suggesting the two-time Open champion and LIV golf head has done Yasir Al-Rumayyan a disservice. A memo obtained by Ryan French from Monahan to PGA Tour members suggested the meeting went well, although unsurprisingly, the tour are keeping details of the meeting private. So this guy got a copy of the memo, and he posted it. As you may know, your PGA Tour Enterprises player directors joined me today in a meeting with Yasir Al-Rumayyan, governor of the PIF. The conversation throughout was constructive and represents an important part of our due diligence process in selecting potential investors for PGA Tour Enterprises. This mirrors the approach we employed earlier this year as we evaluated an investment offer from the Strategic Sports Group. During the season, Yasir had the chance to introduce himself to our player directors and talk through his vision, priorities, and motivations for investing in professional golf. As we continue these discussions with the PIF, we will keep you updated as much as possible, but please understand that we need to maintain our position of not conducting negotiations in public. To that end, we will provide no further comments to media at this time. Please feel free to reach out to the Korn Ferry Player Relations team to directly. This is really poorly written, but I maybe poorly copied and pasted. Doug, I'll just read what's in the prompter.
Okay.
Please feel free to reach out to the Korn Ferry Player Relations 2 team or directly to me with additional questions. Thank you, Jay.
Okay.
There you go. Jay Monahan.
But that wasn't meant for us.
No.
We're not supposed to reach out to them.
No.
But I suppose we could.
I think they'd be interested in us.
Yeah. Well, certainly our opinions.
I'm a 3 that will be a 6 soon when some low scores come off.
Yeah, I'm a dangerous 20.
And we'll find out eventually because the governor of PIF will talk to Norman and then Norman will leak something.
No, you're bitter at Greg Norman.
No, I like Greg Norman.
Do you like the shark clothing that he has?
Yeah, I've got 3 or 4 of his 3-quarter zips.
Have you? Well, he was, I think, number one in the world there for a while, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I think he was, yeah.
Quite a few weeks, maybe years.
Mm-hmm. Had a couple Masters within his grasp.
1996, Doug, Nick Faldo, mm-hmm. apologizing to him as he shakes his hand after winning.
Yeah. He finished that one out about like a 20 handicap would have.
I remember one year he hit on 12. He went over the green into the bushes, and they couldn't find the ball, so he had to go re-tee. After the round, Bobby Clampett got out of the tower, went down there and found the ball, and then auctioned it off.
Okay.
A little tidbit for you.
Nice tidbit.
That was awesome.
Nice tidbit. What golf ball would the pros be playing these days? What's considered the best golf ball?
Titleist Pro V.
That's the best one out there?
Yeah, that's what most of them play.
Okay.
Unless you're a TaylorMade guy, you're playing TaylorMade. And
that's almost as good?
I can't tell the difference.
It's Callaway, TaylorMade. There's a handful of Srixon and Titleist. That's pretty much the way that it goes, and then they get theirs customed to their likes, and then they get the money from Titleist.
Why do you hate Kirkland?
That's Jackson's ball.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Costco.
It today.
Yeah.
I would love to see somebody out there playing Kirkland's.
Hey, it's a deal.
You don't notice any difference, do you? We're not good enough to notice any
Chris
difference.
Chris Nagel hazed Jackson's balls when we played him for using
it. He did, yeah. Who's got the grocery store ball? And it was the best drive I hit all day that still ended up in the bunker.
Oh.
So that was, yeah.
And you think that was the reason why?
It was deflating. No. It was windy, if you remember.
Hawk was up.
Balls have come a long way. I remember when I played high school golf, we got 2 crow flights. I don't even know who made them. Spalding, maybe? Crow flights. You hit a ball badly at big cut on it.
Oh, yeah.
It was right through the core, and you're playing the rest of the round with a big cut in your ball.
You hardly ever see a ball like that anymore unless a lawnmower hit it.
I don't think you could cut a ball. I asked the question the other day. If you took an old Titleist DTX, one of those balls from back in the day, and hit like a wooden-headed ping driver, how far do you think you'd hit the ball?
You're talking me.
I honestly don't know the difference. I mean, I never really experienced that.
Well, it's a crappy ball and a wooden-headed club. Right. Like I'm just curious how far. Well, a guy hits a ball like 270. How far could he hit that ball?
I don't know.
Club?
I don't know. I know the pros still hit the ball a long way with the wooden clubs.
I may bring it out to the Fanpage Club Championship.
Don't bother.
I have one of the original ping drivers. The eye, something.
And you think the crowd will gather around to see you hit that a few times?
No, I'm just curious how somebody like Tim could hit it. And Tim can hit it like 270, 275. I wonder how far he hit this ball. Just hit one off of one tee and we'll see.
All right, Doug.
I still have some old wooden-headed clubs.
I'm sure you're still in your bag.
It'd probably make a better decoration on the wall than it would a golf club at this point.
Ladies and gentlemen, almost time for the Design Air Heating and Cooling Email of the Day! Tim also has a whole team behind him. They are called Awesomeness and Perfection, but this email is about extensions, penis extensions. My buddy Gilbert was in my gym class, so knew the down low on his family tree. A long list, no pun intended, of shrimp cranks. So when his brother Ace tried to flirt with our group, we all just paid him no never mind. You like that paid him no
I kind of do. I kind of like that.
Ace.
Well, one thing led to another, as it often does, and he ended up hooking up with my buddy Archie in the hallway closet. We all thought Archie was just stupid because there was no way it was going to be any good. So imagine our surprise as we could all see Archie getting it from behind with an orgasm face through the louvered doors.
Oh, no.
Then we saw Archie get on his knees. When it was over, Ace popped out, and we saw what was going on. He had made an extender out of his little brother's Play-Doh set. Poor Archie couldn't get that taste of the combination number two and salty dough out of his mouth for weeks. That's from Mao Zedong action.
Mao Zedong action.
Where did the Play-Doh come into play?
Well, haters, it turns out that Iggy was right and winter is over since it is technically spring as of today. Bam! Of course, the only other option is that the entire world comes to an abrupt end from a black hole swallowing the planet.
Mm-hmm.
With pulling in so much gravity that not even light can escape. Not from the CERN Hadron Collider, but originating from an overly enthusiastic Steve mic drop following the unnecessary Ollie extension. Congratulations to Jen Phone for becoming the March Milagro Tequila Lister of the Month, proving that the vomit emoji just pops up the exact same way that Brianna's leaked OnlyFans videos just pop up when you specifically search for it. That's from Shooter McGavin, the vice president of refusing to get a handicap that is required for a sponsored work event, but I will do anything for Hubbard.
Shooter McGavin.
Wasn't yesterday the first day of spring?
Late last night, actually. We had like an hour and a half of spring on Tuesday, and today was the first full day.
I've been having trouble sleeping. I stay up late at night pondering some deep, burning questions. Recently, the question in my mind has been, what kind of couches do they have at nudist colonies? A leather couch is going to cause Bill's bare butt cheeks to stick to the cushion.
Mm.
Just think about the times your own arm has briefly stuck to a leather armrest. Do you really want to peel your sweaty, naked sack off a leather Davenport? Didn't think so. It would make the same sound as someone slowly opening a Velcro wallet. But that means the other option is a couch with a softer nylon or polyester material. And those types of fabrics are much more absorbent. I certainly wouldn't want to sit in some walrus person's leftover grundle residue lingering on the sofa seat. Imagine Fred's fluid seeping into the communal couch cushion.
Okay, where is this going?
No, thanks. I think I'll just stand. And that's only one example of the deep questions that keep me awake at night. One question I may never find the answer to is, what exactly is wood-fired pizza? Furthermore, why did Iggy think a conversation about pizza was a good time to bring up the March Madness competition that no one asked about? And the quote, all-exclusive... Is that what you said? All exclusive?
Oh, 20% crestfallen.
That he literally has 0% chance of winning. Similar to how much does a medicine ball weigh, that is truly one of life's great mysteries. That's from the JV Golf Coach.
Yeah. JV Golf Coach.
Got any good ones in there?
You think finding 500 women to allow me to stick my crinkle-cut helmeted anteater in them is impressive? Well, if there's two things that everyone knows about me, it's that I take the week after Thanksgiving off for vacation and that self-awareness is my strong suit. And that self-awareness allows me to be honest and tell you guys that I've been given an excuse or two in my day when a potential partner wasn't feeling horny enough and I couldn't coerce them into coitus. I've compiled a handful of my favorite excuses that I've been given over the years when they just weren't on board with making the biggest mistake of their life and letting me penetrate them. Number one, I dry up like the Sahara when you call me Robert Smith. And for the love of God, will you at least put an empty country crock tub next to the bed so when the regret kicks in and I inevitably become violently ill, I have a place to regurgitate your seed?
Oh!
The eyes in that Minwoo Lee poster keep following me back and forth. I'm not going to have sex with you if you keep recording Instagram videos of you laying on the couch reacting to double entendre NFL play-by-play calls where you don't actually say anything. You just stare creepily into the camera and raise your eyebrows when Troy Aikman says the defensive lineman has been coming all night long, or Ian Eagle. Is it Ian Eagle, Doug?
Ian Eagle.
Talks about how big of a load someone is. Engagement farming gone wrong. Ick. I don't F guys without a USGA sanctioned handicap. I don't care if everyone knows what you shoot. Save me a spot in the Fan Page Club Championship. The guy from Grassi's told me he'd take care of my gin. I told him, don't worry about it. I could beat anyone in the office. But I never said that. But I could if I wanted to. But I never said that.
I didn't.
DM me if you want to see me naked. If not, just keep an eye on my Facebook page. I'll be posting my thrice monthly red Speedo pic any day now. All you self-promoters are pop, pop, blueberry, pop, pop.
Blueberry, pop, pop.
Doug, and finally, it's been a banner week for Pepper and Jeannie as we got a real look behind the curtain on Pepper's masturbatory habits, balancing his laptop on his thigh while he showcases his hog for anyone watching on the dog cam, which includes his girlfriend, plus anyone searching twinks caught masturbating on hagged dog cam leaks. Jeannie, meanwhile, can't understand why a living, breathing married woman would react to the prospect of seeing his old wrinkled Social Security collecting ass naked with a vomit emoji. Wow, Plowsy actually watched the Blues game last night. Well, let me tell you this long-winded story about Casey's tournament of bands that I filled out a bracket for, despite the fact that I wouldn't even take the Blues tickets prize even if I won. But Learn won it one year, and I bet Learn would be impressed if I won it this year. I tried to impress Learn by booking an MFF three-way interview with Stevie Nicks, but I creeped out her new handler by writing an obscenely long email that's the closest thing I have to a first draft of my autobiography, unless I can find a computer that needs floppy disks. Apparently detailing just how obsessed I am with Stevie Nicks did not impress the new handler, as she immediately shut me down like I was some pathetic radio caller asking Mike Francesa if I could come up into the studio and meet him. I like how Iggy's all concerned. What if someone sends Mo a clip of today's show and then he'll never be on the show anymore? Never mind that he hasn't joined in over 5 years anyway. Yes, Tim, I would love to join your show to tell you which manager I'd like to rim, but based on your playing that clip of Ken Rosenthal being confused by the Marmol extension, I'm convinced you don't understand rimming. Okay, gotta go now. I'm getting paid. You ain't getting laid. That's from Buck Swope, what we have.
Nice
for the Design Air Heating and Cooling email of the day. What you got?
A couple good ones there. I like Shooter McGavin. I like Buck Swope, and I'm going to vote for Blueberry Pop Pop.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting sad. He's the only one who puts any effort into it anymore.
Well, the others tried. The others came up with good performances.
We're not sending the clip of Ken Rosenthal in, dumbass, and that's not what we're talking about.
Hey!
Yeah, Blueberry Pop-Pop.
Blueberry Pop-Pop makes it 10 wins in the month of March. Unbelievable, Doug, but he has mathematically clinched on March 20th. Somebody could win all of the days left in the month of March. They can't catch him anymore.
No, I
Blueberry Pop Pop has clinched on March 20th. We will remember March 2024 for Blueberry Pop Pop.
I'll forget it by this afternoon.
Time for us to shut it down. Jackson and I can't forget that we have Balloon Party coming up in a matter of moments on 101 ESPN, and they will not be happy about the Blues loss. They will not be happy about Kyle Gibson, and they will not be happy about DC United.
DC United's got them upset?
That's who the Doggies play in.
Okay, well, you know, you got to get over that.
I wonder if I'm from the Lou and I'm proud chant going this week, because that was a problem a couple weeks ago that one side of the building didn't chant it.
Well, it's always something that's got these people. And they're trying to save seats with scarves. That's the worst. The absolute worst. We're not here yet, but we're going to put our scarf down so no one else dares sit there.
We'll talk about it on 101 ESPN in a matter of moments. For the Plowlock, for Action Jackson, for Kenneth Iggy Strode, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been TMA, presented to you by Brown and Crouppen.